The City Quick Connect podcast is brought to you by the Municipal Association of South Carolina.
Hey everyone, this is Russell Cox, editor of the Municipal Association of South Carolina's Uptown publication, and we are welcoming back to the podcast Todd Glover, executive director of the Municipal Association. How are you on this increasingly chilly day?
Doing well, Russell. It's good to be back with you. It's been a while. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It is 2024, and it's as the years go by, the number of the year just seems less and less real.
My birthdays, they become more and more real. I'll tell you that.
So, speaking of the year 2024, we are here to talk about the 2024 Hometown Legislative Action Day, which is coming up on February the 6th and followed by the Municipal Association's Municipal Elected Officials Institute of Government, taking place the following day on February 7th. These are happening at the Marriott in Columbia, with the registration deadline coming up on January the 26th. Just to keep it all straight, you can find all of the details on Hometown Legislative Action Day, HLAD, and the MEO Institute at the Municipal Association's website, www.masc.sc, with the keyword HLAD. And this is an event we put on the association's app as well, the Municipal Association of South Carolina app that you can find through the App Store or Google Play. So, Todd, We're going to be starting off this episode with you, and later on in the program, we'll have Eric Scheidel to talk about one of the sessions during HLAD and Eureka Floyd to talk about the MEO Institute. So can we start by talking about the importance of Hometown Legislative Action Day?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Hometown Legislative Action Day is actually one of my favorite events that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the course of the legislative session, which just started last week, mm-hmm. I would venture to say there's probably not a single day that activity is going on at the legislature that we don't have one of our advocacy team members mm-hmm. over in the lobby making sure that what's going on is either advantageous or we're to us or that we're fighting something that's not. Mm-hmm. What I really like about Hometown Legislative Action Day is that when we take the trip over to the State House, it's not our three members of our advocacy team over there. The legislature is reminded about how many people they're representing.
We fill that lobby up with mayors and council members.
And it's a good reminder, I think, that for our legislators, hey, it's just not those three people out here from the Municipal Association who are, you know, hounding you when you walk out of the chambers mm-hmm. or see you at the committee meetings, that we represent, you know, 35% of the population of our state, mm-hmm. that the majority of the economic activity that takes place in our state happens within city limits. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just good to have the numbers. It's just a great yearly reminder to those folks that we're more than just our advocacy team that they see in the lobby each day.
Mm-hmm. The trip down the street from the Marriott to the State House is one part of it, and there are quite a lot of other things that happen that day too. There mm-hmm. is We've been talking about this for years, and as we've said many times, we are going to continue talking about it. Civility.
Yes.
Civility in local government, something that the association has been doing since, the 2022 annual meeting, I think, was the big rollout. Mm-hmm. And there will be a Senate panel discussion on civility in politics with the mm-hmm. with the female members of the South Carolina Senate.
Right. Yeah, obviously a very contentious debate mm-hmm. Last year over abortion. And, not saying what side of the fence you're on there, it was very contentious and, you know, emotions run high. Mm-hmm. And when we get into those emotional debates, it's easy to become uncivil. so we'll be touching on that. I'm looking forward to that panel, but, we're recording this the day after MLK Day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of what Dr. King stood for was, you know, civility. And, you know, I just think it's, sometimes I wonder if we're just talking about it too much, and then I see things that say, well, we're not talking about it enough. And, so, you know, we're going to continue with that civility theme and everything mm-hmm. that we do, in every conference and training that we have, and great to have it in this piece as well.
We have gotten, I don't even know how many, city councils to do the civility mm-hmm. pledge mm-hmm. and, some hang it up on their wall in the council chamber, some recite the civility pledge. We will, be doing that as we do at all of our meetings, mm-hmm. the civility pledge. There's one session where I believe the economic outlook, the 2024 economic outlook, session, I believe you lined up the speaker for this one.
Yeah, this was, when we were doing our brainstorming, this was, something that I had really had on my mind. We've invited Laura Dawson Ulrich, who is a senior regional economist for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, and mm-hmm. I believe she's out of their Charlotte office. You know, we've been going through this time. The Fed has been raising interest rates. We've had home sales slow. We've had inflation. There's been talk about inflation. There's been talk about recession. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to our cities as they start looking at economic forecasting for their budgets. You know, what is the next year mm-hmm. going to bring for us? And if you look at the press, there's a mixed bag. You know, mm-hmm. they said, some have said, well, a recession's coming, and now there's some that say, well, we're not having a recession, and how did people get it wrong? And then mm-hmm. people saying, well, nobody got it wrong. They thwarted the recession by raising the interest rates. And so I'm just really looking forward to her talk about what's coming as far as the economy and growth in South Carolina. I know you actually, there's an interview with her, mm-hmm. a brief interview with her in this month's Uptown. And
she really hit upon just the tremendous growth happening. You know, she's out of Charlotte, of the Carolinas as mm-hmm. a whole, and also the fact that growth is not, of course, uniform. Mm-hmm. That some places are exploding in population, and mm-hmm. but it's not everywhere.
Right. Yeah, we see that as well. So, I think it's sometimes the financial piece and the economy is something mm-hmm. that perhaps we need to pay more attention to. And so I'm really looking forward to that session. And then there's another session even on affordable housing. Mm-hmm. I know that we've talked about with this explosive growth in mm-hmm. some areas that just workforce housing, someone being able to afford to live in some of these areas where the explosive growth mm-hmm. is taking place is very difficult. And so we'll be addressing that as well on the agenda.
And that is the session that the Municipal Association General Counsel Eric Scheidel will be coming in later in this episode to mm-hmm. talk about the not only a 2024 economic outlook, but also a 2024 political outlook. And I don't believe I have heard from this speaker before, Dr. Scott Huffman, who is the director of the Center for Public Opinion and Policy Research at Winthrop University. And Winthrop is where a lot of the polling in South Carolina yes. comes out of.
Right. And I'm sure that has nothing to do with the fact that Scott Slatton and Erica Wright are alumna of Winthrop. no, but it is.
If Casey Fields were here, she would say, go Eagles.
But no, they are a leading, you know, the Center for Public Opinion and Policy there is a leader in research across the state. And you're right, you know, a lot of our state media does rely on them mm-hmm. heavily for their polling data. But, you know, again, it's a good time. It's, you know, kind of a reset. It's right after the first of the year, mm-hmm. holidays. We get back into the business of the people. Mm-hmm. The legislature is starting up. You know, we have our legislative reception, and we know that we invite all of our legislators to come it's a good time to kind of meet with them in an informal setting. But you know, there's just something about that visit when we walk down Main mm-hmm. Street from the Marriott to the State House that it just reinforces, how important our cities and towns are. And, mm-hmm. and so sometimes I think because we don't have 500 people packed into the lobby every day that maybe sometimes that gets lost. Mm-hmm. I will say that this year is a little different than in years past in that parking might be an issue for people who are just coming in for the day, mm-hmm. who aren't staying. We're having to... And I guess it's a good problem to have. There's not the available parking in downtown that has been available to us in the past.
Speaking of economic growth, it would be suggestive of economic growth in yeah. the city of Columbia.
And so I know that, you know, you might can go to one of the parking decks on your own and maybe get a day parking. Our staff has arranged for complimentary parking in a parking deck at the Bull Street project over there, where the new baseball stadium mm-hmm. and development is there. And we'll have a free shuttle that'll take you back and forth to the Marriott. So I just think that's important to point out as you're planning your day. You may need to give yourself an mm-hmm. extra 15-20 minutes to get parked and get in to the Marriott, maybe more mm-hmm. so than you would have in the past.
And if you've not seen all of the development down there in Bull Street, down that parking deck on Freed Street is right across from Seeger Park, where the mm-hmm. Columbia's minor league ball team, the Fireflies, play.
Yep. And as you know, those minor league baseball stadiums are near and dear to my heart. So that's a great development, Bull mm-hmm. Street development there. And a lot of growth over the past couple of years mm-hmm. has taken place there. So, you know, it's... I live in a smaller town, and we're used to, I see people that'll circle the block for 30 minutes to find a parking space right in front of the place
it's
they want
to
go.
It's got to be just two right. steps from the door.
Instead yeah. of, you know, parking three blocks down mm-hmm. the road and walking, and that's that urban mentality that mm-hmm. sometimes those of us who don't live in larger cities aren't accustomed to. And so just to put that on the radar of folks who are coming in mm-hmm. for the day, allow yourself a little extra time to park and get on the shuttle and get over to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Todd, we still have Eric and Eureka to go, but before we get to them, any final thoughts from you, HLAD, MEO?
Just that I think it's vitally important. You know, I've mentioned our show of strength over there. The relationships that we encourage all of our city councils to have with their delegation at all times is important. This shouldn't be the one time a year they see you mm-hmm. or hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's more effective if mm-hmm. if you show up during HLAD and they know you, have a personal relationship with you, talk with you all the time, than just see you once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just, you know, drive that home that you know, this is kind of a call from home. Just, hey, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Columbia up here and wanted to drop in and see you at work. Because I imagine that most times it's the legislator back home seeing what that city's mm-hmm. doing. And, you know, in this case, you're just up here and just letting them know and reminding them that cities are the economic engines of our state.
Mm-hmm.
We're the arbiters of change. And I just think it's a great event, and I would encourage people, even if you can't afford to, you know, the time to stay the night mm-hmm. or if you're not participating in MEO, if there's just a little bit of time during the day that you can commit to that event, I'd highly recommend your participation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Todd, thank you so much.
Yep.
So joining us now is Eric Scheidel. Eric is the general counsel for the Municipal Association. Hello, Eric.
Good morning, Russell. How are you?
I am doing well. And returning to the podcast, we did our single most popular and audience engaging podcast ever when we talked about First Amendment audits some years ago.
Yeah, I've actually gotten hate mail over that podcast. I've had letters like mailed in the mail to me from First Amendment auditors telling me what a horrible person I am based on that podcast.
Well, okay, so we are...
And I'm not one of those people who believes that all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. Okay, so hopefully our topic right now is less contentious.
Less
hopefully
controversial.
It's not going to get you hate mail. Right. So in terms of talking about Hometown Legislative Action Day... We wanted to talk about one of the general sessions that's going to be coming up. It's going to be a general session early in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. The title is Act 57, What You Need to Know to Bring More Affordable Housing to Your Community. And affordable housing, workforce housing, has become a very significant topic in South Carolina, as South Carolina has grown the way it has. And you, as I understand, you will be leading this session along with Josh Gruber, who is Deputy Town Council of the town of Hilton Head Island.
That's right.
How did this session come about?
In terms of who's involved in it, or in terms of the topic? Let me do this. I'll answer both questions. So let's talk about what the presentation is going to be about, and then mm-hmm. and then I'll say why it's going to be Josh and me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The question, as you mentioned, there's a lot of conversation about how do we increase affordable housing in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and those concerns. You know, I'm not typically on the policy side, but just to put it in perspective, from the policy side, there's the argument that we need more affordable housing for all people,
mm-hmm.
that as South Carolina has grown, as South Carolina has developed, property has become more expensive, and many ordinary people find it hard to find affordable housing, whether mm-hmm. they're renting or buying.
Yes.
And so you have a general concern about the welfare of society that housing be affordable. And the other concern, which is a more of an economic development issue, is as you develop, particularly for tourism economies, where do the people who are necessary to work in the tourism economy, where do they live? And so that's been a real problem. And the obvious example is a place like Hilton Head,
mm-hmm.
where you have a number of service industry type businesses in Hilton Head, and it's prohibitively expensive for a lot of people to live on Hilton Head Island. So there's a real appetite in South Carolina to increase the inventory of affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
both rental and ownership. There's a number of approaches that have been tried, that have been considered. The particular one we're going to be talking about is in 2023, the General Assembly amended the accommodations tax laws to allow you to use accommodations taxes for development of workforce housing. That's mm-hmm. the term used in the statute. So the focus here, the reason I gave the two policy considerations, this is more targeted in the thinking of the General Assembly, I believe, to the economic development issue. Workforce mm-hmm. housing, as we bring industry, whether it's tourism industry or manufacturing industry or even just commercial development, how do we house the people who are necessary to work in those places so that South Carolina can continue to prosper? And so one way, as the General Assembly allowed us now, is to use accommodations taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume our listeners know what the accommodations tax is with a very brief overview. Accommodations taxes are the taxes that are charged for overnight lodging.
Yes.
As distinguished from hospitality taxes, which are taxes on prepared foods.
Yes.
So the idea of accommodations taxes is that people come to your community, whether you're a small community or a large community, they stay overnight, they burden local resources. You know, public safety has to respond to incidents that happen at hotels and Airbnbs. Et cetera. So the accommodations tax is an additional tax on overnight stays that is designed as a policy basis to recapture some of the cost mm-hmm. imposed on your community by tourism and by people staying overnight. So there's a state accommodations tax, which is basically a 7% sales tax charged on all overnight stays, 2% of which is distributed to local governments, mm-hmm. but it's collected under the state accommodations tax. There's another one we call it the local accommodations tax, which is an optional additional local tax that mm-hmm. municipalities and counties can put on. And that's limited to a total of up to an additional 3%. Because the policy basis for the accommodations tax was to offset the burden of tourism, the public cost of tourism, the negotiated compromise was to say, well, you have to use the money raised by accommodation taxes in order to support tourism. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So historically, they were things like building new things to attract tourists,
mm-hmm.
like aquariums and water features and sports parks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this act, the General Assembly said, okay, you know what, let's allow it to be used for workforce housing. And so in some ways, that's the entire thing we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty simple story, right? Now you can use accommodations taxes in order to develop workforce housing. The wrinkle and the reason that we'll be spending the time we will at the HLAD session on this is that in order to do that, you have to prepare what's called a housing impact analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So the new law says, yeah, great, congratulations. You can use accommodations taxes for development of workforce housing. But if you do so, you have to do this new thing called mm-hmm. a housing impact analysis. And I always try to be non-editorial, Russell, but this is a thing that lawyers say. It's drafted inartfully, which means it's a little hard to understand exactly what's going on in the mm-hmm. act. And the thing that's particularly confusing is that there is some kind of relationship between the housing impact analysis that you have to do in order to use accommodations taxes for workforce housing
mm-hmm.
and the already existing requirement of the housing element in your comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners, very briefly, if you have a zoning ordinance, you have to have a comprehensive plan. One of the elements of the comprehensive plan is the housing element. And this has been around forever. And the new act made some changes in the housing impact analysis requirement that affect what goes into your comprehensive plan. That's what we're going to be trying to pick apart. Mm-hmm. Is what does the housing impact analysis look like? How do you get it done? How does it fit in with your comprehensive plan? And I think if I were talking to our members saying, why should you come to our session? It's here's a real opportunity for your communities. If you're concerned about housing affordability in your jurisdiction, mm-hmm. one option you now have is to use the source of funding to support workforce housing. It's an option you didn't have before, but there's some difficult questions about the implementation of that. And that's why Josh will be there, which is where
we're going to say, have they gone down that road?
Yes. That's why Josh will be there. Josh is now the deputy town administrator for Hilton Head. He's in a management position. He is also a lawyer, was formerly in the county attorney's office in Beaufort County. Now that he's at Hilton Head, he and I talk a good bit as lawyers. They're the first jurisdiction that I know of that has commissioned and completed a housing impact analysis
mm-hmm.
under Act 57. So Josh and I will I'll give the lay of the land. Here's what the Act says. Here's what the Act does. Here's the hard questions about what a housing impact analysis looks like and how it fits in. And then Josh will say, now let's talk about how it looks in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you some practical advice now. I think the session will be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we will consider, you know, some of the policy issues, like what's the appropriate response of local governments? We do need more affordable housing, but how do you balance that in your processes? How do you fit that in to your comprehensive planning, to your zoning ordinance? You know, what can you do to both encourage the development of affordable housing while also, you know, protecting the character of your community?
So, fair warning, since you mentioned it, both of the people up front during this, yourself and Josh, will be attorneys.
Josh is what we like to call a recovering attorney. Like, he's given up the practice for better things.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that once you get that imprint stamped on you as a lawyer, it's hard to get away from, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that definitely... that definitely helps me understand quite a bit. Our next segment in this episode is going to be talking with Eureka Floyd about the Municipal Elected Officials Institute of Government. And I believe from looking over the agenda, that next day on February 7th, MEO Session B, you will in fact be there for that one for liability of municipalities and their elected officials.
I will. That's a mandatory session, so mm-hmm. I don't need to encourage you to come. If you're coming to MEO Session B, you'll see me. it's a fascinating topic. You know, under what circumstances can a municipal official, you know, we consider two things. One, mm-hmm. what's the liability for the city or town itself mm-hmm. when something bad happens? Anything from police misconduct to simple traffic accidents to natural condition problems. You know, mm-hmm. one of the things that comes up a lot is you know, for example, I had an accident on the sidewalk or on the street because this tree wasn't cut back or because. So we consider, you know, under what circumstances can the city or municipality itself be held liable for mm-hmm. when bad things happen? But then we also talk briefly about under what circumstances can elected officials themselves be held personally liable mm-hmm. for things that happen while they're in office.
That makes sense. Well, Eric, thank you so much for taking a moment to talk about all of this with us.
No, it's my pleasure, Russell. Thanks for inviting me on.
And we will see everyone on February 6th and 7th.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks.
So finally joining us, we have Eureka Floyd. Eureka is the Municipal Association Staff Associate for Training and Learning Solutions. And what all does that mean, Eureka?
Well, hello, everyone. Training and Learning Solutions, basically here at the association, I am the manager for all of the elected officials training. Mm-hmm. I develop, I create all of the online training and put it out there and publish it for our elected officials to get their certification and graduate from the Municipal Elected Officials Institute. I also handle the in-person sessions for the municipal elected officials. We hold training sessions around the state at five of the select Council of Government locations, mm-hmm. five of them around the state, and we hold those trainings as in-person sessions three times a year.
Mm-hmm. So Municipal Elected Officials Institute of Government is, of course, what we are here to talk about right now, because the day following Hometown Legislative Action Day on the 6th, on Wednesday, February 7th, we will have quite a few sessions.
Yes. We hold five training sessions that run concurrently. That's MEO Session A, mm-hmm. MEO Session B, two advanced MEO training sessions, and this year we are holding advanced budgeting and finance, as well as advanced leadership and governance. And then the fifth session that we will hold is the advanced continuing education session, and that's for those elected officials who have gotten their certification in mm-hmm. both the basic level of MEO, the advanced MEO, and now they're in the third level, which is the advanced continuing ed.
Mm-hmm. Which looking over the agenda for the advanced continuing education, we are going to be looking this time at property tax millage and how to avoid financial trouble, as well as speaking of affordable housing, as we have previously in this podcast, strategies for affordable housing and water in your community.
Yes, we have for the advanced continuing education session, we look at the current issues that are around the state and that municipalities are concerned about. And with the advanced continuing ed session, we're able to change up those topics every time we offer this training, which mm-hmm. is twice a year. And we usually will choose two topics that we will cover, and each topic will be 3 hours. And mm-hmm. so we get a really good in-depth look at each of the topics that are chosen. And the field service managers who go out around the state visiting all of our municipalities, they will come back and let me know what our elected officials are most concerned about. Mm-hmm. And two of the items that came up was affordable housing mm-hmm. and the property tax millage. And so they're going to cover those two topics in depth, and they will each of those topics will last about 3 hours.
So all of this happening right at the same time that day on the 7th, and possibly people listening are considering doing it. I believe the registration deadline this year is coming up on the 26th of January. Is that correct?
That is correct. We would love to get all of our elected officials into the municipal elected officials training. The registration deadline is January 26th, so you have enough time, plenty of time, to mm-hmm. go ahead and get registered. Mm-hmm. If you are a newly elected official, you would register for Session A.
Yes.
Correct. And if you have already taken Session A, then you would register for Session B. Mm-hmm. And if you are a graduate of the Municipal Elected Officials Institute, then you would take a session with the Advanced Institute, and you would take either that advanced budgeting session or the advanced leadership session. Those mm-hmm. sessions, each of the advanced sessions are also full day. They last from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you get a wide range of topics that are covered under each of those. For the advanced leadership session, we have a very experienced speaker coming in who will be with those folks mm-hmm. all day long. Carolyn Sawyer, who used to be an anchor here in Columbia on the news station. And she leads a very dynamic session on leadership. So those are the advanced session. And I've already mm-hmm. talked about the advanced continuing ed.
You know, in my time with the Municipal Association, Eureka, I have noticed that the MEO Institute is just very popular with elected officials. Having gone through it is often a point of pride. We have any number of honor roll cities where every single member of those councils is a graduate of the MEO Institute. What would you say is the reason why people keep coming back and we have all these tracks?
Right. So, we started the MEO Honor Roll Cities about 4 years ago, actually about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this was to encourage our municipalities to get their elected officials in training so that they can learn all of the laws and the laws that govern their municipalities, as well as to get training on maybe some topics that they've never heard of before, mm-hmm. being, you know, they're coming from all walks of life and maybe this is their first time in municipal government. So getting the elected officials in this training is a pride for a lot of the cities, and mm-hmm. we wanted to honor that. And so what we did was we created the MEO Honor Roll Program. Mm-hmm. And for those cities who have all of their elected officials who are graduates of the basic level of MEO, they can become an honor roll city. Mm-hmm. And we have our field service managers go and present the entire council with a plaque. We also publish a press release that is released to the newspaper mm-hmm. to let their towns and surrounding towns know that this municipality is striving to educate and to train all of their elected officials so that their town mm-hmm. can run at its most effective.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That covers everything I wanted to say. Any final thoughts for anyone thinking about MEO?
The training sessions were created for you and by you. This program was created because elected officials said that this is what they needed and what they wanted. Mm-hmm. So we created this for you. We have experienced experts in each of the fields to do the training, and we want you to come to these trainings willing to network with other local cities mm-hmm. From other cities from around the state. So this is an opportunity for you to come and not only talk to your own officials in your town, mm-hmm. but you get to network with other elected officials. So we hope to see you on February 6th and 7th.
Come say hello.
Yes.
Eureka, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The City Quick Connect podcast is one of several ways the Municipal Association keeps you informed of the opportunities and issues impacting South Carolina cities and towns. Learn more at www.masc.sc and stay up to date with the Association's latest happenings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.